When it comes to Christian persecution, those of us who are Christians in the West tend to ask ourselves, how can we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world? But did you know that they're actually praying for us? In this interview with Dr. Michael Youssef, founder of Leading the Way, Dr. Youssef shares some very enlightening truths about Christian persecution. So make sure you stay tuned to hear it. Before we get started, though, just realize this interview was done over my cell phone, so the audio quality might be a little bit lower than what you're used to. But what he shared was amazing, so you're going to want to hear it. Stay tuned.
Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. Their students are innovators, leaders, and dreamers who carry Liberty's mission into hundreds of professions. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is Liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Charisma to the number 49596. Again, text Charisma to the number 49596.
Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host today, Jenny Rose Spaudo, Online News Director for Charisma Magazine. And today, we're talking about Christian persecution. I have on the phone with me Dr. Michael Youssef, and Dr. Youssef is the founder of Leading the Way, which is actually having television and radio programs that point people in the Middle East to Jesus in many different languages. It's really exciting what they're doing, so I'm really thrilled to be talking today to Dr. Youssef. So Dr. Youssef, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jenny. Glad to be with you.
Amen. Glad you're here. So I know I just briefly introduced you, but why don't you start off by telling our listeners a little bit more about you and what Leading the Way does?
Well, I am a 71-year-old sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And God blessed me with an opportunity to broadcast the gospel into 195 countries in 26 languages. 14,000 times a week.
Wow.
So with that kind of privilege and honor, I feel so unworthy of it, but I seek to be as faithful in the use of every technology and resources that God placed in our hands to see that people who are living in darkness to come to know Christ. And this is in the West, whether it be in the U.S., Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, Europe, or in Mandarin and Cantonese and Turkish and Farsi and all the other languages in which we broadcast.
Well, that's just fantastic. I love that you guys are so focused on Jesus. And because of what you guys are doing, so many people around the world can hear about the gospel. And that's even in places where the gospel really isn't welcome. Is that right?
Right. And we are just so privileged to see people who are so disenchanted with their own religion and their own situation and have seen, no hope. And now they're embracing Christ. And in fact, what we see often in the Muslim world is that people see visions and dreams of Jesus. And then they return to a channel. We have a television station 24/7 in Arabic called Kingdom Sat or Malakut Sat, where it's in 200 million homes. And people tune in and then hear the gospel and they say, they are just telling me about the man I saw in my dream. And then they get in touch with our follow-up team, wherever they are on the ground. And we're seeing people come to Christ on a regular basis. In fact, I was speaking to a very prominent leaders, and these are not Christian leaders. I'm talking about leaders in the Middle East. And they were kind of concerned, these political leaders, about all this conversion, people coming to Christ. And another Christian leader said, we are not really the evangelists. The evangelists for us are the members of ISIS, because it is Muslims, average Muslims, who are looking and seeing ISIS, and they're seeing terrorism, and they said, oh, wait a minute, is this our religion? Because the vast majority of them really do not know their religion. Mm-hmm. And so they literally start examining their religion, and they end up searching for Jesus, and they've run straight into him.
Wow, that's incredible, just how Jesus is reaching out to people no matter where they are, and he's reaching them with the truth. That's fantastic. Now, I imagine that in a lot of those countries, there's a lot of persecution against Christians going on. Is that correct?
Sure, yes. And in some places, it's government instigated. In other places, they are family and society instigated. If there is not a systematic persecution by the government, in some countries they don't, but the parents, I mean, the family members, the honor killing, and the when they know somebody converted to Christ, they persecute them. They lose their jobs. They get thrown out of their homes. That's if they're not killed. And so the persecution is real. And so we try to do is help them. When they come to Christ and they get thrown out, we try to be there to provide help for them, practical help, so that until they get on their feet. Some of them actually tend to work with us and become evangelists on our behalf on the ground. So God is doing some amazing things in these last days.
Amen. That's wonderful. Now, I know that the media sometimes will show what's going on with Christian persecution, but there's really not a ton that they reveal about it, maybe because they can't get in there or they just don't care. But can you share with us maybe some examples of persecution against Christians that we're not seeing on the media, or maybe that we're just not hearing about?
Oh, the secular media will never show you. Persecution. And the previous government never really cared about a Christian being persecuted. It's only now that Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo, who are believers, who are really becoming very concerned about persecution, that they are establishing offices and the possibility and opportunities for people to know more and to do something about it. But the media is not interested in Christian. I was on CNN for 3 hours one time during the Arab Spring and the uprising. And no matter what I say, they always squashed everything I said. Finally, actually, took the microphone and left because they don't. Number one, they don't want to believe there's such a thing. Or they are so indoctrinated against what they call Islamophobe, and they just think that anybody who tells the truth about Islamic persecution is an Islamophobe, and they being politically correct, they're afraid, literally. In fact, the former president of BBC admitted it, that we can lean heavily on Christians because they are broad shoulders. But if we say anything, even the truth about Islam or Muslims or Islamists, they will come and kill us, or bomb us. So that fear has worked, and the media is afraid, and basically decided to just turn a blind eye to it. So we try, and through the Christian media, the best we know how, to get the word out so that the Christian community at least is aware of it.
You know, you bring up a good point that, you know, we're scared to point to, you know, radical jihadis, radical Islamists, because we're afraid of being pointed out as Islamophobes. But can you explain to us a little more what the role is, or what role that radical Islam and radical jihad plays in Christian persecution?
Well, of course, they are the number one instigators of it, and they the ones through their terroristic acts frightened people from speaking the truth in the West, and so consequently, imagine people whether be on the Syrian border with Jordan or on the Syrian border with Lebanon, and I've been to these places and I've met with the persecuted. I know. I listen to them. I know what they they tell me. In fact, if a converted person to Christ from Islam or any other religion come to the United Nations and seeking asylum, the United Nations official most often turn him down and said, "What did you do that for? Why did you leave Islam?" And so, I mean, they're just getting it from every end. And I know there is one Sunday a year, church prays for the persecuted. In our church, a Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, we pray for the persecuted every time we meet because we are aware of it. We bring them in through, and some of them to come and speak to us, and we know what's going on firsthand. And I wish all churches in America and the West can wake up to that fact and really pray for the persecuted more often and be involved in helping the persecuted because, you know, we don't. We just worry about our own life and our own situation, and we too turn a blind eye to what's going on 10,000 miles away.
Right. And, you know, one thing that our listeners might not know about you is, like you said, you're in Atlanta, Georgia, but you were actually born in Egypt. Isn't that right?
Yes, exactly right.
So did you, when you were growing up, did you ever see examples of persecution against Christians?
Well, it's always been there. You see, the persecution in the Middle East, in the Arab world, really, the Arabic-speaking world, has been going on for 1,400 years, ever since the rise of Islam and when they came and invaded Christian lands. You see, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, all of North Africa, there were 85% Christians on the average in every one of those countries. There were Christian lands for 600 years. And since Islamic armies came invading from Arabia and invaded all those Christian lands, they basically gave people three options. They said, you convert to Islam, and if you a Christian or a Jew, we'll give you a second alternative, and that's to pay high form of taxes, in Arabic called jizya, in order to survive. But if a person is not a Christian or a Jew, they're not converted to Islam, they'll face a sword. So that's been going on for 1,400 years. It's only now with the development of modern technology people are aware of it. In the old days, some churches were aware of it, and in fact, you read some things like Churchill and others have spoken about what's going on in the Muslim world. But now, you know, more and more people who are, if they are interested, they'll see and discover that this thing is not just a modern phenomena. Now, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes the persecution heats up. Sometimes it sort of goes neutral, depending on the ruler, or the governor, or the caliphate, or whoever is in power. But for 1,400 years in the Muslim world, in the Arabic-speaking world, Christians have been persecuted.
Well, you bring up some really good points. I appreciate you sharing that. And now I can't let you go without asking about something that's on everyone's minds, probably across the world, and that's the coronavirus, you know, COVID-19. Yeah. How are you seeing this virus affecting persecution against Christians, if at all?
Well, the one thing is that around the world, really, kind of, it took people's attention away from whatever they were doing with persecuting Christians and now focusing on this and focusing on themselves. And in the Arab world, just like it is here and elsewhere, they have, in fact, in some countries in the Middle East, they have a total nobody to go outside of their houses from 6 to 6, literally. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to go out in the streets. And those societies are known for gatherings and big gatherings and so forth. And so some governments, including Egypt and I believe Kuwait and others, who have said, okay, there is no, not literally, not being on the streets after 6 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
And so it keeps them people, they're cooped in. Now, unfortunately, of course, the Christians also could not celebrate Easter like we could not celebrate Easter, and they can't go to church, and the Muslims can't go to mosques. So at least the attention is off the Christians and their persecution for the time being, you know, during this coronavirus situation.
Absolutely. And with the coronavirus situation, are you seeing any opportunities opening up in the Middle East for Christians to actually share the gospel more than normal?
I think so. I think, those courageous people, because don't forget, there are some Christians who are also afraid in the Middle East, and they're afraid of sharing. There are some priests, when a convert come to them, they kind of said, go somewhere else, because they're afraid if they baptize them or have them into the church, they will get into trouble with their government. So, but the courageous ones, the ones who really have been and continue to be not afraid, and they will, because it is illegal to witness to a Muslim outside of the church walls, but if they come to your church, you can witness to them. And so some, of course, are using the media, radio and television, and everywhere I travel in the Middle East, pastors, church leaders, they just say, thank God for your media, because we now bringing, the media is now bringing people to Christ, and they're coming to the churches, and when they come to us, we legally okay to disciple them, baptize them, and so on.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, Dr. Yusuf, to close us off today, can you share with us what are some really important ways that Christians can be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters?
Well, I think the most important thing is, you have to remember that Paul said to Timothy that all those who live a godly life will be persecuted.
Right.
And sort of ask yourself the question, am I really living for Christ? That's a good question to ask yourself. And it's not just to be concerned about the persecuted. What am I doing about it? In fact, the persecuted tell me, we pray for America. They really do. They said, we pray for Christians in the West. And they say, you know what we pray for? We pray for God to send you persecution. Because you have become so soft and so sloven in your Christian walk that you need persecution to strengthen you. And they said, don't feel sorry for us, because we know that through the pain of persecution, we are walking with Christ so closely and so deeply. And we're not afraid of death, because we know that if we close our eyes in death, we'll be in heaven. That's the amazing message that I hear from persecuted everywhere that I travel. They tell me that we're praying for the West to get persecution in order to experience what it means to really be serious about your Christian faith. And so as we pray for them, for God to strengthen them, remember they're praying for us, that we need to be strengthened in our faith.
Well, that is so convicting and really eye-opening, honestly. Thank you for sharing that. It's definitely changing the way that I pray and the way that I view persecution in general. So thank you for sharing what you did. And thank you for coming on the show today. Honestly, thank you.
Thank you for having me, Jen. God bless you.
God bless you. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.